to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
No new year, new me bullshit. I'm going to be worse.
And Dale Hummel.
It's always sunny in Arizona.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ryan, it is a 70 degree plus day. The sun is shining and life is good in Phoenix.
Well, that's kind of annoying because it was 85 yesterday and all weekend in Texas and Oklahoma. And now it's like 32.
Well, we
Mother Nature is off her meds and drunk.
I got a text from Commonwealth Edison, our power company, last night that our power was out. Craig said it's 14 degrees with 40-mile-an-hour winds at home.
You had thunderstorms. You had all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, tornado warning.
Because your ring cameras also send me those updates for your local weather, even though you're in Phoenix. I get all the KVA weather nonsense. Yes.
I don't get anything from my ring camera. Nothing.
Because you have the notifications turned off. I don't even know why you have the app on your phone. You do nothing for it. The goats could die, and I would
wake
be the only
up,
one that
I check
knows.
On the goats, and away you go.
I would
and if it once and in all honesty, once I give you that code, I don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. You also don't answer my texts when people are petting the goats in the middle of the night, and I want them to stop.
You can.
If you're
can
at
hear,
the Arizona you, National, please quit petting Katie's goats. It's annoying.
I think they can hear you. You can yell into the app. I think they can hear you.
If I could yell at the people, I would.
I know you can hear them, right? Do you have the sound where you can hear what's going on?
Yes, but I cannot yell back, and I would tell them to.
Yeah, and I can't think of the whether I can't envision a speaker. Maybe we need to get a one that we can go both ways. Maybe we can. I don't know.
It would be very bad. There would be people very offended by me.
Well, I get that first night. I don't know how many texts I got from you, but this person's walking through. Why'd you stall there? Your goats are up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't even text him the last three nights because you just don't pay attention and you don't respond. So unless somebody's going to murder them or stick them with a needle, I'm not texting you anymore. I'm just going to watch my goats in private.
I have not. Last time we recorded, I was not feeling well, and it got a lot worse for a while. And I'm definitely on the upswing at this point. But there was a night or two I probably wasn't going to wake up for anything.
I'm just saying.
What has been going on in the world while I've
Well, your sawed-off embezzler that you love so much came to
my t-shirt
Florida,
boy, t-shirt buddy.
That came to Florida and talked to Trump, and then they had a press conference, and they said that they are closer than ever to peace, which Putin ain't chimed in on any of this, so I don't know how that works without him, but yeah, that's what they said. And
did he have a shirt, jacket, and tie on?
I just listened to it. I didn't watch. I can't even look at him anymore. He just wears me out. So I don't. But there was that. And now Trump is mating with Netanyahu, or however you say his damn name, in Mar-a-Lago.
They're going to discuss blowing something up in Iran again, I believe.
Who knows? And then Charlie Kirk's murderer is in the courtroom, and the judge is very anti the little murder man.
it's not positive.
Though. It's not going to go well for him. It's just not.
Mm. What about half of our naval ships being deployed to the Caribbean? Wondering where we're at with Venezuela.
I think we've already probably just obliterated Venezuela and nobody's told us yet because I haven't heard anything.
I heard a little bit about the oil tankers that we were stopping, and basically it's a blockade. And in most people's minds, that's an act of war, and China's not happy and Russia's not happy, but that isn't going to change anyway. So I don't know. I'd like to catch myself up on that sooner than later.
Yeah, well, you'll have all the time in the world when you get home from Phoenix before Denver, so you can just catch up while you want.
I have 3 days to picture goats, then I'm gone for a long time.
3 days is a lot of news.
I'll be picturing goats. Did I tell you that I was going to go on a vacation in January?
Yeah, you told me.
Okay. Yeah, I never thought about the recording part of it yet, but it'll
sure
be fine.
I'll be doing it by myself.
I'll have Wi-Fi. It's not like we're going to the
Africa.
Yeah, it's not like we're going to Africa.
Your buddy Tim Waltz is in continue, like, this is not going away for him. It's just not.
Just people picking on him, or is it going to
be? No, it's getting deeper into his $8 billion fraud scandal. And now he supposedly going to commission some foreign country to do the investigation into it. And all, I mean, no, I can't make this up. I cannot. It's bad.
So he can go and commission somebody to investigate him. He can pick who he wants to investigate him.
Yeah, and Omar's husband's companies, because she's involved in it, and her husband's companies has like surged in value during all this. It's all, I mean, I publicly think they'll be hung before this is over with.
I'm not opposed to it. I really hope they hang Omar on something.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's not good. But that I was obviously, I've been very busy judging last weekend and watching your goat. So I haven't had a whole lot of time for the news. The press secretary is expecting a baby, a girl.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm, in May. It's probably going to be on my birthday. They can name it Ryan.
I had heard something on Fox News in the background when I was packing, I think, that Newsom, the Fox News anchor at that time, whoever was on this, I don't even know which one it was talking about how he got destroyed by DeSantis in that debate. And I'm thinking, I didn't get it that way. If you're intelligent,
he
understood
did
how
not
much
watch
he was
the
lying.
Same debate I did.
Yeah, I mean, if you had no knowledge of what was accurate and what was not, Newsom destroyed him. If you want to take in the fact that Newsom lied the entire time, then yeah.
Well, the Fox News guy's crazy, or she, whoever it was, because that's not right. Because again, 85% of the people that watched that probably did not know that all Newsom did was just lie all the time. But get past that. Hannity couldn't even control him or keep him in check. And all Don Juan did was get flustered because the man just lied all the time. So yeah, no. No, he's wrong. But
and they were in another point, or maybe it was at the same time, they're talking about how he does have some charisma, this and that, but his record is so bad and he lies so bad that they didn't think he could gain traction. I disagree with that. I think his ability to spin something, and it's bullshit that people should not be allowed to vote if they don't have an IQ at some level, a given level. I don't know what it is, but they need to be able to function mentally and understand what they're voting for.
I'm not going to agree with that, but
I don't think many of our politicians would be qualified to vote at that point.
But I think Gavin's a sociopath and a liar and all this other stuff, but he's very good with words and he is ton of charisma, and I'm firmly convinced that he is the most dangerous of anyone that is talking about running for president on the Democrat side. But your gay boy JD's going to run and win. He's told everybody this week. His eye is on the prize for 2028. That's a quote.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
You're warming up to him, I believe, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No.
And what has he done recently to upset you?
Nothing. He's just in the closet and annoys me.
Maybe it has
something
to do with the wife and
children. I do not think he's a good person, and he called Trump a Nazi, so I'm never going to get over it. Again, if it's a choice between him and Newsom in the general, of course I'm going to pick him, but I hope somebody else wins the Republican nomination. So
you're Don Juan?
I would take Don Juan over him. I mean, Don Juan just hates drag queens. JD's a closeted gay. There's a difference.
Okay. I don't know how all these things. Yeah, I'm just out of that. I'm not in that loop, I don't think.
Mm-hmm,
but okay. That's an easy call, though. That's easy.
Yeah.
Between the two. What about little Ruby?
I will vote for the Republican. There is 99.999999%. I promise. But
so if it's not going to be Don Juan, not your little Secretary of State, Rubio.
I'd be fine with him. I like him.
I would be fine with him as well. I assume that our vice president is coming out fairly strong early with hopes nobody's going to stir the pot and jump in with
him. Oh, I think he's just trying to make everybody fold.
Yeah.
But Pence is running. I will not. I would.
He's not.
Yes, he is. He announced.
As a independent or as Republican?
No, as a Republican. Now, it would be a very tough choice between Pence and Gavin Newsom for me. I may have to say.
Come on. I would, that is not a difficult, no, it's not. It's fine. You still, which one is more correct than the other?
I don't think either. But
Pence is not a closet gay.
No, he just hates gays. Hates them.
Okay. Does he come on the record for that with that?
Yes.
Multiple and what about your boyfriend Newsom? He's perfectly fine with the gay population.
He's the governor of California.
He hasn't banned same-sex marriage or anything like that.
No, he marches in pride parades, which is another problem. That is another problem. He marches in pride parades. Okay, that's another problem.
Oh my! Anything else I need to know for current events?
No, I just ready for your ghost to show so I can quit watching the goat cams. Could y'all like hurry that up out there? It's been a very long week already.
I would like to acknowledge ShowFresh H2O as our continued partner / sponsor of this podcast. If you have not yet tried ShowFresh H2O, please do so. This is just another step in the process to get your show animal to look 100%. I am currently at the Arizona National. I've had several people come up and get some free samples, visit with me about ShowFresh H2O. I'm a fan. I think that if you're not going to haul water from home, you better at least get out to the show trailer and purchase some of this. Some shows stock drink the water. Other shows, they don't drink at all. They're all individuals, but this gives you the best chance of getting them to drink. And if they're not drinking, you're not going to get along. ShowFresh H2O can be purchased at your favorite show supply trailer or at SwampFox.com. What happens outside the ring is as important as what happens inside the ring. Ryan, this is your longest title ever.
There's no way to shorten it up. There's no cute, catchy title for this, but that is the topic, and it's very correct. And I don't know how we haven't ever really talked about this. I'm sure that we have talked about everything that's going to be said here. I'm sure has been on a podcast at some point, but it's never been put into a topic. And so, because Dale has given 5 topics in the 5-year history of this thing, I've had to come up with some topics here lately since somebody, you know, was busy dying.
Of course.
Doing things. So, When the last 2 weekends, I have had very long drives to Oklahoma to the shows that I judged. And so when I drive, I think because I don't listen to music. And so this has given me time to think. And I just, at shows, we all think about the finished product and when the kid and the animal go into the gate and all this, and that's when it's all got to come together and that's what's important. And that is important, there is no doubt, but that is only when the finale is happening, when the actual judgment is being there. Everything up until that point, from the moment that you unload that animal at the show and everything that goes wrong until you take the animal into the ring, and while the animal and the kid are in the ring and what you people are doing outside the ring, that all plays a role too.
And I don't know that that families think about that as much clearly.
I don't think they do either, because if they did, they wouldn't act the way they do sometimes. I'm just saying. Like Dale had somebody haul his goats way out there to Arizona and all this other stuff. And from the time that Dale got there, even though he was dying, he has been doing everything in his power to make sure that the goats are 1,000% for a show day that's still 2 days away, as of right now. And it's important. And like, we're just going to go through and talk about all that stuff. Every week he talks about ShowFresh H2O and water. And since he didn't haul the goats himself, I doubt he hauled water from Illinois, which I'm shocked.
No, they had to have, they didn't want to take chances on finding water en route. So we sent as many buckets as we had room for in the back of the truck, which most of those did get used en route here. Mm-hmm. But I can't explain it. Now, haul like this, and this is the first time I've ever had anybody else haul for us. And this is a gentleman that I've hauled with in the past. We both drove down together. So I felt comfortable doing it, but I am always going to have issues when I'm not with them 24/7 going into a show like that. But
why not?
And he was correct. I, even though I knew they were in good hands, they got here, everything's fine. But it was hard for me. And that maybe, hopefully that helps tell the story a little bit better that, and I'm probably overkill on it. Ryan's probably overkill on it.
But I'm the most overkill. I don't care.
I want to control everything that goat does every second that he's getting ready for a show.
Until you go to bed.
Yeah. And that is not. It's not always possible, but you've got to keep pushing. Don't let off the gas now when you've been putting all that time and work and effort in at home. I so often, and I think Ryan and I have talked about this, there's been very few times that I'm at a show that we actually can go out to eat with other families and things like that, because we're just not going to have everything done at the barn that needs to be done to just leave like that. Yet you'll see a lot of show families, and I'm glad they're organized enough to do it, that'll head out of the barn at 4 or 5 and go get dinner and something to, I mean, enjoy each other's company, which I encourage all of that. But wow, make sure you've got everything done that you can possibly do to make sure that animal's comfortable and going in the right direction.
Right. And, you know, it's little things, but, you know, from how you get them bedded down. And I mean, I know that like in sheep and goats and pigs, maybe not the bedding process is not as intense as it is in cattle, but I promise you, like, we spend hours upon hours getting the beds just how we want them and the fans at the right thing and the dividers and all this other stuff. And like, people think that we're overkill, and we probably are, but we want them, and we do the same thing at tie-outs. We put, you know, actual bedding down and then the straw and all this other stuff just so they can be as comfortable as humanly possible in this foreign space that they've never been to before. And, you know, that's just one thing. We talked about drinking and keeping them hydrated and, you know, all of those things, and knowing you know, when you're going to show and when you need to maximize the fill or how much is too much, you know, stuff like that. All of that doesn't happen in the rain. That happens outside before, and it takes hours in advance of planning. And that's something that people forget. Like, you just don't stick the water bucket in front of the animal and it happened. Like, it doesn't.
And guys, we even take it to the point, we've got a little, in the little water buckets, most of you in the sheep and goat world would have a similar bucket, but you've got a line there that we fill it up to, so we can monitor or have a pretty good idea exactly how much they're consuming. I hope that I feel for some of those out there that do everything and put so much effort in and then maybe not quite enough of the show, and consequently, the results aren't going to be as good as what you'd like. I did have something while you were talking about your betting, Ryan. I was up at the ring watching a little bit of goat showmanship this morning, and I glanced down to see what the betting was, and it was those pelleted shavings you put down in pellets, wet it down. And I mean, that ring surface, in terms of watching those animals walk, not getting a bunch of shavings in their leg, traction so they could brace it, that we've talked about that, I think, being the ideal bedding. But there is no question in my mind, I'm sure it is expensive, but if shows could afford to do that for sheep and goats, or lambs and goats, that pelleted bedding that we put down and put some water on, it breaks up into finer particles, it is perfect, absolutely perfect.
No, there's no doubt that's what we use, but
expensive is. I don't know how much a bag of that is.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but
no. And then how many you need for a show ring? It would be bad, but it sure makes a difference.
you know, and so one thing that I want to touch on, and this is probably going to hurt some people's feelings, but you know what, is what it is. A lot of times we get to shows and we don't have someone with us or in our group that can clip and fit that animal. And right now, this is all species. I mean, I can't tell you how many hogs I've seen in the past 2 weeks that were fit and glued up and painted and the whole nine yards. So it's every species now. So this is for everybody. Here's my thing. If you don't know how to do it, and you can admit to yourself that you're not good at doing it, my suggestion to you is to make arrangements before you get to the show. Just don't hope on a wing and a prayer that you're going to find somebody at the show that can do it for you, because everybody that can do it at the show is already there with somebody else. And so whether they can fit you in or not, it's probably not going to work. But make sure you have someone, if you are not capable or someone in your group is not capable to fit and clip that animal, that you have somebody that can. Because even if you take them and get them clipped the week of the show and drive them there or whatever, they grow hair every single day. And every time you wash and every time you blow, the hair lays different. You're going to have touch-ups done at that show. And if you don't have somebody there that's competent and capable to do it, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot. And that's all. I can't make it any nicer. And I'm sure Dale has some stuff to say on this. And then I have another thing to add to it after we get Dale.
Well, I couldn't agree anymore with what you're saying there, Ryan. And I understand. I think there are some families that just aren't comfortable knowing who should they reach out to. I would make a suggestion. If you're one of my families, call me, ask me. I might be able to help find somebody near that show that's able to fit and clip for you if needed. Call your, not just me, but just call your breeder. And I think I would sure hope that they would have some insight or maybe be willing to offer some assistance on who could do that for you at a given show.
Yeah. But you're going to need somebody. And then if you don't have anybody at the show that can do it and you can't find anybody to do it and you don't know how to do it, my next opinion is, if you know that you're not good at it and you can't find anybody, then don't do anything to that animal. Don't paint it. Don't glue it. Don't clip it. Don't attempt. Because at least if you got it clipped by somebody beforehand that knew what they were doing, at least you can kind of fluff it up and blow and go, and you're not hurting yourself. I can't tell you how many different times at shows an animal will come in and I'll just say to myself, man, they would have been better off just not doing anything.
Agreed, completely. And you see it. It's you're going to see some at every single show. It just
absolutely, yeah.
No, I am with you, and I can't, and I understand to hire somebody to come and clip and fit at those shows. It's going to cost something, and maybe it just isn't in the budget to get that done. But I would recommend doing whatever you have to less animals initially when you buy them, whatever it may be, to have some money left in the budget to do those things, because that's going to have a huge impact on how you get along that day. Huge. You could always, I think some people assume that the judges are going to look through a bad fit job or one that isn't clipped, that they're so smart, they're going to know how good this one is, even if we don't put in that time or have that done. And I can assure you guys, I'm not saying the judges can't read through some of that or aren't going to try to read through some of that, but it just isn't going to work out.
Well, you know, you bring up a point here and this goes for every show, but Texas and Oklahoma right now, there's a lot of county fairs. There's a lot of Oklahoma has district shows and all this other stuff. And I've judged a lot of those. And a lot of times, maybe they won't clip the animal because they want to save hair for OIE, or you're trying to save hair for Fort Worth or whatever major show you're going to.
Are you worried about breaking with staff? Or
something? Right. I mean, sure. they leave them in wool, they, you know, all kinds of things. And yes, as a judge, I can look through a lot of that and do. But also, I'm just going to be real honest and tell you that at some point, unless that animal is light years in football fields by the best one, if it's close and somebody has clipped their animal and got their animal fit and came to that show on that day to win, guess what's happening in my mind?
Yep, it's
done. This guy came here to win today. And so that is just part of it.
Agreed completely. And I know we're going very big picture here, and I want to slide one in, Ryan, before you go on to the next one. The other issue that I see that is a simple fix, for some reason, when we get to the shows, even if that animal looked near or as close to 100% as possible when you left home, I promise you more times than not at the shows we're feeding less, and because they're stressed and not in their home environment, they may not want to consume as much. They may not want to drink as much. But unless you're fighting a huge belly in the lambs and goats, at least, I would encourage you to keep those guys eating and drinking as much at the shows, if possible, as they were at home. Because every time I look at some of these goats before they're going in, they're a little wrung out. They're maybe sucked up a little bit, whatever that may be. And I guarantee you, and I even see it in our goats sometimes, after the show, you dump a bunch of feed in their pan, you have a bucket of water in there, throw some hay in there. I bet you the following morning after the show, they may look more show ready than you had them walking into the ring, because we were not getting enough fluids in them. We're not allowing them to consume enough feed.
Oh, well, 2 points on that. First off, I have talked to both Dale and Kate on several occasions, and I thought this was a topic, and they told me there wasn't, but I can't tell you the number of times at a show where I have judged the animals on one day and then showmanship maybe the next day. And I told Cade and Dale both this on several occasions. 85% of the animals look better on showmanship day than they did the actual day, because probably just of what Dale's talking about right here. They just let them load up and whatever, and they look fresher and they look fuller and all this other stuff. And as a judge, I'm sitting here going, how do all of them look so much better today than they did yesterday when it was all on the line? But I think Dale's point is absolutely correct. The other thing that I want to mention on this part of it is Dale brought up people going to dinner with doing things, Top Golf, whatever. I am never going to be the person that does the social events at a show. Now, if the kids want to go or whatever, it's fine. Because, like, I am a firm believer and always have been that whatever you do at home, you need to do at the show. So if you feed at 6 o'clock in the morning and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at home, then by God, that's when you feed there. And so you've got to have yours washed and dried and all this other stuff beforehand, because you want those animals eating on the exact same schedule. Because when you break that up, that's when they don't eat as much. That's when they don't drink as much. And if you think about that, when you feed at night, it's probably later, and that's right in the middle of your dinner reservation, Shrek.
She would never do that.
I'm not even going to go there. Not.
Well, she didn't want to take your help with you to eat dinner or anything anyway.
She didn't get her showman either, so.
No, guys, and I know Ryan and I are making light of some of this, but I guess some of these things are just observations when I'm looking across the barn and families that may be pinned in that area or wherever they're at. You just see these things happen and you think, gosh, if we just tweak this a little bit and do something a little bit different, be a little more anal about it, life would be good. And I wish I didn't stress over every little thing and wasn't so crazy anal about how those animals are looking every second of the day. And I wish I would relax enough to go out and socialize and in terms of have dinner a few nights while we're at the shows, things like that. But it just seems to be a time issue. You just don't have enough time to get it all done.
And then another deal, you know, not everybody has Ring cameras and not everybody has an insomniac like me to watch the Ring cameras for them like Dale does. But I'm not going to tell you to do it. I think it's a wise idea. I'm also not going to tell you to stay out there all night with your animals, but I'm going to tell you we do it at the big shows. I am going to say that at the very least, you get them bedded down, you get them put in tie-outs, you do whatever, you go eat, you do something. Somebody needs to go back and check on that animal at like 10, 11, midnight. And another thing, if you have another family that you trust, always say, hey, if y'all come back out here, will y'all just like give mine a glance? And if something, you think something wrong, send me a text or something. If you have not spent a night at a barn, at a show on a national or Texas major level, you have no idea the amount of shenanigans, nonsense, tomfoolery, bizarre things that happens. You would be terrified. You would never sleep again. And so I'm just telling you, if you've got somebody that you can trust, always say, hey, and it doesn't have to be at night. It could be you've gone to get a corny dog at the carnival. And if somebody is, you got another pair of eyes that's always when they're walking by, you know, just checking in, that's a big help.
Agreed completely. And this is, if people, even if they just logged into my Ring camera one night, the crap that
they would not sleep.
No, you really wouldn't. And I think, Ryan, I'm not picking on cattle people here at all because they're putting as much time and effort into these projects as anybody. But it seems like once those darn things go to tie-outs, you don't think about them again until morning. And you can't do that.
Yeah. And
I mean, I panic. I panic when we have to tie out at the Illinois State Fair that something is going to go wrong. There's too many things that can go bad that I want to just put my chair, my recliner, lawn chair up right beside and just stay there, period.
And I am going to include every single Texas major and every national show in this because I have personally slept with animals at every Texas major show and every national show more nights than I can even count. Weird, wild shit goes on at every single one of them. And so I'm not, and it's not the show. I'm not saying that that's the show's responsibility or anything else, but I'm telling you, y'all don't know until you've done it. And if you have done it, you know what I'm talking about. And I promise you, all you need to do to get your priorities in check one time, stay out there with your animal one night. And I'm not talking about sleep. Stay awake and watch everything else go around that goes on and down around you.
Huge eye-opener. And I can remember the first couple of years we came to Arizona before we had Ring cameras, I stayed out there in the barn. And I bet there was no less than a dozen sheep and goats every single night that were getting out of their pens.
And nobody let them loose. They just...
No, yeah. They figure out how to open that latch if it wasn't zip-tied or tied shut. A lot of them are smart. We've got a goat right now. I've got to zip-tie that gate shut if we're gone for a minute because he just flips that latch as fast as he can. The first night this year at Arizona National, actually before even regular check-in, just after the early bird day move-in, that night... There were over 20 sheep and goats loose in the barn the next morning. They put them all out into the show ring and basically said, hey guys, if you can't find them, here they are.
And like you're talking about how the cattle people send them to tie-outs and don't ever come back. I cannot tell you the number of times that we have been out there staying with ours, whatever, whether it was at tie-outs or inside the barn, and just some random calf walks up to you, has no halter, no nothing. Yet, I mean, maybe dragging the halter, and you have no idea whose animal this is or where it came from or anything else. And I'm sitting there, that could be mine right now.
Yeah, exactly. What else are you going to think?
I mean, literally. And I mean, this happens every night. Like, you're just saying at least a dozen, whatever. And so I'm telling you folks, y'all think that I'm being crazy and anal and maybe Dale, whatever. You stay out there one night and see what happens to you. You will never be able to go unchecked again. I promise you. I promise.
And it's very telling on who's in the barn from, let's say, midnight to about 4 a.m.
2 to 5. That's the 3 hours. 2 to 5. 2 to 5.
Oh my. So I mean, we're
if you are staying out there and you do need to take a nap, do not take a nap between 2 and 5. That I'm just going to tell you. Do not.
There's a lot of information here, and we're taking it a lot of different directions. I think that's good. It works fine. The outside the ring versus inside the ring, this project is 99.9% of the time outside of the ring. Mm-hmm. But with everything we're doing for that 0.1% of the time in the ring is our goal. It's what we're trying to compete at the highest possible level we can and do everything we can as best we can. But think about all that time. Think about you as a parent. If you're employing somebody to help fit, clip, showmanship, whatever it may be, whether it's at home or at the shows, think about those people that are around your kids. You're basically telling your kids that I sign off on these people that are helping. And I'm sure there is no question there are some unbelievable role models out there in a positive manner that you would think as a parent's perspective or from a parent's perspective that you would want to make sure to bring those kids in, because whether you like it or not or want them to or not or think they will or not, if you're hiring them, bringing them in, you're signing off, you're giving approval. Those exhibitors are going to be watching exactly everything those people hired to help are doing. And if you don't want your child to look at them as a role model and go down a similar path, you may want to rethink who you're bringing in. There's a lot of good people out there. So just put some thought into it. And I think it needs to be done. I don't know how to handle this better. And it's going to impact some young showmen more than others. Some are not going to, you could have the worst people around that kid in the world and he's going to, or she's going to turn out just fine. The next one, they get exposed to one person that's maybe not the best. They're going to follow that person down that path. I understand they're all individuals, and I understand that you're raising them in a manner that you feel comfortable with, but don't put that temptation out there.
Yeah, no, I mean...
It did not impact, correct, Brian?
Oh, no. I mean, I've told the story of me and my brother on this podcast before. My parents try to put the very best people around us, and for 95% of the time, it was, and all this other stuff. But it only took one person that wasn't a great role model to introduce my brother into drugs. And I mean, he literally died because of drug and alcohol abuse. Now, I was around the same person. I was younger, should have been way more impressionable, but I wasn't. And I mean, that's how simple it is. One kid can be perfectly fine, and another person, it is going to change the total trajectory of their life. And my story is not, I'm not saying that I'm a great person, Randy was a terrible person, but I'm just telling you, Randy's not here because of it. Period.
I mean, and that's a perfect example, Ryan, and a very unfortunate example to even have to put out there, but that's the real world.
Yeah. And, you know, when I came up with this topic with Dale, he was going, well, what are we going to talk about this and this and this? And I was like, I'm going to talk about everything. And so, you know, we haven't covered every single thing that you need to do before you get to the arena with your animal. I'm sure I'm forgetting stuff. I'll try to hit the big moments, but I also want to just put out there that what you do on the outside of the arena even though it should not make 1 ounce of difference of what happens inside, I'm telling you, the impressions that you leave on a judge from the outside of the arena can have effect. And it just is what it is. And I'm just being honest with you people and letting y'all know. And I think that I do as good a job as anybody at trying to remove all the noise and all the distractions and all this other stuff and simply sort the animals. And I am telling you that as a judge, there are things that I witness on the outside of the arena, good and bad, that at some subconscious level, I am going to say affects me.
I couldn't agree more. And again, I'm not saying that you're going to place an animal differently because of it, but yeah, in essence, subconsciously, you may.
I mean, and so like I say this in showmanship a lot. When we're sitting there, showmanship's normally at the beginning of the day, and we're waiting for the first group to come in, or we've done one heat and we're waiting for the next one. If I turn around and there is a kid that has that animal propped up, ready, and is solely focused on looking at me before they ever get in the ring, I think this kid's come to play and he's ready to win. Or she's ready to win. Because the other kids standing in the back are either talking to their friends or talking to their parents or, you know, playing with their sheep or goat or pig or whatever. And there's one kid out of 50 standing in that makeup right here that I can tell their sole focus is to make sure that I know before they ever hit the ring that they're there and they're ready to win. Yeah, that's a really good impression to put on a judge.
Huge.
Really good. And at the same time, I can tell you that there are impressions that are not as good. And this is all before you get in there. And everybody on here knows that I am not some, you know, diehard Baptist that does not drink. I do drink. I like to have a good time. I'm also going to tell you that at 9 o'clock in the morning, if you're calf surrounded by 15 people with a beer, that's probably not going to be the most favorable look on some judges. You laughing.
I can only imagine if you walked upon this with one of them that you were dealing with. But I agree completely. And I'm not opposed. And I know that there's a lot of families that really enjoy the social side of coming to the shows. And that's fine. Do we want to maybe play it down just a little bit prior to noon, at least? Probably. And there are some of the shows that say no drinking in the barn and so forth, which would be a lot of, I mean, the tech.
I don't care if you're drinking before 9 o'clock in the morning. I have been there at shows. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to act like I'm some saint. But I am also going to tell you that I think that when you've worked this hard and done all this and you're walking up to the ring, either we put it down or get one of your 900 Yetis so the judge doesn't know that you're chugging Coors Light at 9 a.m. in the morning. I mean, yeah,
probably good advice.
I'm little aesthetic things that you think are just trivial. I'm telling you, at times, it's not. Take it from someone that does this. It's not.
Very simple for you, isn't it?
The purpose of this podcast is try to, like, help educate people and help them do the best they possibly can be. And so, yeah, so when I say stuff like this, I'm not saying it for my health, but I'm just telling you, if there's 15 people piled around an animal and they all got a beer before 9 a.m. in the morning, that's not a good look. I don't care who's judging. It's not a good look.
Agreed.
The other thing, and this is on the outside of the ring, but it's happening while the show is going on. We have talked about this in the different showmanship podcasts that we have done 9,000 times. I have absolutely zero issue with anyone trying to help instruct a kid on how to make their animal look the best that it possibly can while it's in the ring. Do I think it should be subtle? And maybe you should have a number system or a sign language hand coordination system or whatever. Yes. I'm telling you, every time when I stick one in the open show, there is somebody on the outside of the ring that I look to, and all they have to do is nod yes or shake their head no, and I figure the rest of it out.
But seems simple to me, and I'm with you, and I would never hold anything against a kid glancing out once in a while. But you know what? If I'm talking about showmanship, if I've got two individuals that are essentially doing the job equally as well, and one of them is glancing
and one
outside,
is constantly looking and the other one isn't, you're going to use the one that is.
Yeah, it is. It just is what it is. I mean, if you can give me the impression you're getting this done on your own, that's even better yet. I'm not going to hold a lot against you if you're not, but in a close decision, the kid that I at least am unaware they're getting coached from the outside because they can just handle it on their own, that's great. And I can assure you, every time Katie goes in the ring, I'm still going to give the thumbs up or down or something that, hey, we're good, or you need to change something. So, and I'm not trying to tell you that, I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here, but we work with some families that those showmen, they're better off without looking at anybody outside the ring. It gets them nervous and then they go backwards on us. And some are just that flat good. They know exactly where that one needs to be, especially if it's a doe that's been to 55 shows. They're probably okay. They're in tune.
Right. And like I said, I think Dale makes a very valid point on showmanship. If there's two kids out there that are doing about the same job and you've noticed that one keeps looking to the sidelines for glancing at somebody and the other one isn't, you're probably going to use the other kid. I agree with that, but I'm talking about in the regular show.
I
don't care if you're trying to. I think it's absolutely fine. Does it need to be subtle? Yes, but I'm going to tell you something that's not a good look. It is not a good look when mommy or daddy is standing on the side of the ring at the show yelling at the child, telling it what to do. It's not a good look.
No, I would agree with that. It's also, I've run into this, I'm not saying it every show, but more than I should, you're so concerned about your coach outside the ring, you don't have enough eye contact with the judge that when we're trying to pull you in, we have to walk up to you and tap you on the shoulder because you're so focused on somebody outside the ring. You want to make that judge feel as though you're in tune, you're paying attention for the next direction from that specific judge, whether to pull in or move forward, whatever it may be. And that judge isn't going to have to wait on you to get your attention because you're focused on somebody outside of the ring is in the best interest to make sure you've got that judge's eye contact as best you can.
No, and so, I mean, the ones yelling at people, there may be just one at every show or whatever, but when the judge is evaluating your animal and you are literally standing at the fence and you are yelling at your kid and the judge is right there, how can you think that's going to help anything? How?
I don't know.
But it happens at every show, Dale.
It does. I'm with you. I think nerves, they get overly excited. I don't know.
It just fathoms me. And so, again, that's happening on the outside. The kid or the animal cannot control it at all because the parent's not going to shut up. And so, no, you don't want that to affect how you judge. But once again, if it is close and it can go either way, I'm not going to tell you that I am good enough to not swing it for the person who's not getting yelled at and not making a sideshow of everything in ringside.
Agreed. That I mean, we just need to take a breath and think about what we're doing, and is there any advantage to doing this? And not just because you've seen somebody else do it or because you feel better about it. Let's make it more about how can we get this animal to the best we possibly can in the ring. And there are a lot of things that go into that. Sometimes we just don't comprehend everything that goes into it and how important every single move is, but it truly is if you're trying to compete at the highest level.
And then, and like I said, we're not going to hit everything, but I am going to put this out there. And because I'm telling you, this is something that not only I feel, but I've talked to several people that judge shows that feel the same way. If you win your class and you've got to come back for division or you've got to come back for breed or something like that, do not be the person that we have to wait on for 5 minutes because you took yours back to do something different. All this other stuff, and everybody else is standing out there in the ring ready to go or lined up ready to go, and the class three winner is nowhere to be found. That is not going to help your chances.
No, not at all.
That breeder division champion drive. And again, it happens at every single show. I don't understand why. I do not get it. Whatever you need to do to that animal, you need to be able to do it right there where you can hear them call for the breed champion or the class winners or whatever else, because that's like a huge problem. Huge.
That again, going back, just use some common sense.
Yeah. So anyway, like I said, we're not going to hit on everything, but I thought that if we brought this up and just stressed the importance of from the moment that you get to that show and everything that happens outside the ring up until what happens outside the ring while your actual kid's out there and your animal's showing, just to give you something to think about and to, you know, marinate on. It is all vitally and equally as important as what actually goes down in the arena. And we never really just laid it out there for you before like that. And we've just kind of hitting the highlights here, but it is important and y'all do need to think about it more.
Absolutely. I like that. That was all over the board, but I think all very good advice. I'm sure many of you out there are already aware of some of that. Maybe some of you aren't, but if it can help one family out there adjust and do better, it's worth it on our end. Very, very good topic, Ryan. I have a question from Justin. Love listening to Beyond the Ring podcast. I have a question. I'm from Florida. My wife and I are wanting to visit a Texas major as a spectator. The one that lines up best with our schedule is a State Fair of Texas. Any advice on attending that show? Is there a species that I should prioritize watching? Thank you for your help.
State Fair is a good show. I mean, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that. I mean, it's a quality show. They're not all there at the same time. Sheep and goats are there at the same time. And then pigs and cattle, or at least on the market side, things are there at the same time. And the breeding stuff, our state fair is like a month long. And so the breeding, the open and the junior shows, they're scattered all over for all the species. But the market sheep and goats are the very first weekend, and then pigs and cattle or right after that. It's a very good show. It's not going to be nearly as big in numbers as like Fort Worth, San Antonio, or Houston, but it is a very good show. I would tell you to pack your shorts because it's going to be hot. But
I would agree.
It's going to be warm.
And I think if you haven't been to one of the Texas majors, I think you could go to any of them and you would enjoy it very much. I would say if you want one that's a little more overwhelming, well, I don't know. Houston's hard to, I mean, the atmosphere, how do you put it, Ryan? There's going to be really high energy at all of them, but when I think about the sheep and goats being there at Houston with some of the breeding cattle all at the same time in one building, that's pretty unique.
Yeah, and I think if you're a sheep and goat person, like, because those shows are going on at Houston's ring side by side.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you can take all that in right then, and like the junior heifers are there at the same time and all this other stuff. But yeah, so I mean, it would depend on the species. If I'm just telling you, if you're a cattle person, the greatest, and everybody else can get pissed off and get mad. And I don't care if you haven't seen it, you ain't watched it, you don't know. The greatest steer show in all the world is the Fort Worth Steer Show, period. It's not close.
It's impressive to watch.
It's not remotely close. And everybody that says different is lying. The most impressive steer show in the country is the Fort Worth Steer Show, without question.
So Justin, I would guide yourself to the species you're the most interested in. And you're not going to be let down to any of them. I can think of positive at all of them, but maybe what species is there? And if you're both wanting to see sheep and goats, most of the majors, I guess San Antonio, they're at the same time, just a little walk between. Same thing at Fort Worth and Austin. They're right over alongside each other. So yeah, there's a lot of good. I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's very eye-opening. The next one comes from Sam. Love the podcast, and I am appreciative that I have selfies with both of you. Do you remember Sam?
Sure.
I am considering going to a national show next year with sheep and or goats. We are generally finished after our summer state fair. Thoughts on which show I should attend? I've had questions similar to this.
We have had questions similar to this, but I mean, I'm going to say the same thing that I said on all of these. Pick the distance, because, you know, there's a big, depending on where you live, Kansas City, Louisville, Phoenix, or Denver, there's a big mileage distance in those right there. You know, are you just going for the experience? Are you going to be competitive? Like, I don't know all those things. But my two things to tell you is I would be about distance and the judge. That's who I would. Yep. That's what I would be about, because all of them give a real unique experience, but different. None of those four national shows are the same, and they've all got something that is more unique and better than the other one in different areas. And so you're going to get to experience a great event at any of them. And so for me, it's about mileage wouldn't even play in for me. It would be about who the judge was. But for most people, it would be about the distance on how far it is to them.
I would agree with that. So Sam, I would say, depending on what animals you end up getting purchased, also take into consideration, okay, if I'm kind of still targeting my state fair, if that's July or August or whatever, there in the summer, maybe we look at Kansas City or Louisville a little harder, because there's less time to keep that animal right and within an acceptable weight range
than it is Phoenix and Denver.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a little bit younger one at state fair, no problem going on to Phoenix and Denver. If you wanted to try maybe the Junior National Goat Show. I don't know what we have for a early sheep show, but they usually have their national show in June, I believe. Depending on how close you are, Exarban wouldn't be considered a true national show because it doesn't allow...
No, because they don't allow us to show there.
But if you're in one of those many states that are allowed, that would be a show that would fit, knowing
they're
that you're
going
to have a summer show. That would usually fall in a time slot that works for you as well. So no, I encourage you, go give one a try. Hopefully you love it. Allie has the next question. This question is for Dale. You're gonna jump in on this one because it has something to do with one of
my
your...
My name is not Dale.
One of your bulls, or your only bull, I don't know. Are you planning to have any bulls on display at Denver or the Cattlemen's Congress? I had the opportunity to see Argentine on display at Cattlemen's, and I loved him. Well, Allie, I tried to tell Ryan that I had a nice bull coming. I brought him to the stalls and let him look at him. I said, Ryan, this is a good one. He kept telling me he's no good.
I nicknamed him. That's my bull. My bull. I wouldn't let you sell him. And then you went and sold him from out underneath me without even telling me. I found out on Facebook. That's how scared he was to tell me. Yeah, my bull.
So, Allie, we were planning on having a bull on display. I was planning to go to Denver with one this year, but they filled their bull displays filled up way, way early this year and kind of caught a few people off guard. So we do not have any going
They have both displays at the Cattlemen's Congress.
Yes, and I did not get signed up for that one either. I will not. On a positive note, Argentine's mother, or I guess a full sibling to Argentine's mother, there will be embryos selling at Cattlemen's and Denver, both. So you won't. It's not much to look at, though, is it, Ryan? Frozen embryo.
She made Augie, so I'm a...
So no, I hopefully next year we'll have some. We're excited about some of the calves that we have that would work out. And I appreciate that you got to see Argentine. He's one of my all-time favorites. With that, Ryan, thank you for tolerating. I didn't have technical difficulties and I'm away from home.
No, because you finally bought a MacBook like Clifton's been trying to get you to do for 5 years.
I don't know why that makes a difference.
You've had it for 2 weeks and we've had no problem. Zero.
Yeah, I had to get the speaker or the microphone synced the first week. But other than that, nothing. It's been very good. So until next week, be safe. And Happy New Year.
Y'all come back now, you hear? And Happy New Year!